This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Smith is on the line, and I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, December the 8th. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to everybody, all you first responders and teachers out in Doraville.
Doraville.
And those of you old enough to remember that famous...
I was going to say, give them credit, Doraville at the end of the Martyr line next to Assembly.
There you go. Oh, yeah. I was over there.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But there are those in Doraville and Panthersville earlier, and our audience who remember that famous call on Monday Night Football. And today was the anniversary.
I was at the Varsity with some friends of mine.
What?
In those years, there weren't a lot of places you could go and sit and watch a football
it's
game
true.
On TV.
It's 1980.
Yeah. Jocks and Jills maybe was just about to take off. You know what I mean?
Nobody I know was working there then.
You know, but I'm talking about the one on 10th Street.
The only one.
The 10th Street, right? Or Crickets or any of the places, you know.
Right.
There wasn't a whole lot of places. Maybe the old
Beer Mug?
Maybe the old Dugans.
Okay.
Over on Ponce.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
where
I mean? But
there
wasn't a whole lot of places you could go to and watch a game. The Varsity was a place you could go and have what you have, what you have, what you have, what you have. And you can sit there and watch a game. Me and a bunch of my buddies were down there. We had something to eat and watching Monday Night Football.
New England.
And that happened. So
I think the Patriots were playing. Forgot who they were playing. But
just remember, I was at the Varsity when that went down.
That was one of those. And you know, Howard Cosell was he always fancied himself as he was the person who delivered the news, whatever was going on in the world, aside from the football game.
Well,
he wanted to handle the whole thing with the Olympics in 72. And
we say that let McKay do.
Yeah, which was smart. But this was the day, December the 8th, that John Lennon was killed, and this announcement was made on Monday Night Football. And then shortly, now here's the other part about this, what I didn't know. Annie Leibovitz, you know the name, right? One of the most famous photographers in the country. She did a photo shoot with him that day.
Oh, man.
Earlier that day, his last photo shoot.
Wow.
Andy Leibowitz, she took those pictures. He went to the studio, I guess, to do whatever he was doing with Double Fantasy, which, by the way, came out shortly thereafter and became Album of the Year, and a bunch of hits came from it. But, yeah. And I, you know, just when you go to New York and you find yourself in Central Park there, you know, you got to make your way over to Strawberry Fields and see that. But anyway, I want to throw that out there. Another thing that happened on this December 8th, Sam and I are getting started. Got D-Led joining us from Minneapolis up next, getting the set for Falcons and Vikings. But Mr. Crenshaw, it's time we let you have the floor and tell us what's going on locally.
Wow. Locally, we will find out, we will hear from John Grant at 8 o'clock. He will join us. He is getting ready to fly out of, this was out in Jackson, Mississippi for the SWAC championship game between Jackson State and Southern University. A lot of people say, well, since Deion Sanders left, you don't hear from Jackson State. You're going to hear from Jackson State. Yeah. They're coming back to town. They won by a score of 41-13 over Southern yesterday, so they're going to face South Carolina State in the Celebration Bowl, and he's going to tell us more about that coming later on this morning. Other college scores to tell you about, a couple of college teams in the state are still playing other than Georgia. Mercer was a winner yesterday and won in the FCS playoffs. They beat Rhode Island 17-10, so the Baz are still playing. And Savannah State was a winner over Virginia Union 49-14. That is in the Division II playoffs, so you still got two teams from around the area that are still in action. Speaking of Celebration Bowl, two coaches who coached in the Celebration Bowl got head coaching jobs this week. They got D1 jobs this week, and one of them here in town. Jerry Mack coached North Carolina Central in the Celebration Bowl. He had gone from that time an assistant at the University of Tennessee. He was working with the Jacksonville Jaguars as a running backs coach. This week he was introduced as the new head football coach at Kennesaw State. So congratulations to Coach Mack as he's coming to this area and going to coach the Owls. Who? The Owl. The
I wasn't expecting that.
That's who he's going to be coaching. And then Willie Simmons, who this time last year was leading Florida A&M to the Celebration Bowl, spent a season at Duke as the running backs coach, was named the new head coach at Florida International yesterday. So he's going to be the new coach. The HBCU champion, coached at Alcorn State, coached at Prairie View, and was successful there. And now he's the coach at Florida International. So a couple of some college notes to pass along. High school notes, of course, we're headed for the high school state championship games. And you know, Greg.
What's that?
You know, they're going to get to come and play in the Benz.
Okay.
And, you know, you figure teams that are play, you know, that are here from the metro Atlanta area or the teams that usually, the usual suspects, have been to this building and have played in it. And so the coaches are going to be able to prepare them, you know. But what about the teams that have never played here before? Noel, I don't know if you got something ready for me in there. You know, there's certain schools that you have to get prepared to come and play in this place. You got the halo board. You got the roof that may open or close. You got all kind of things. All kind of things that they may not be, you know, ready for or may not have experience. They've seen it on TV, but, in you know, next week they're going to get to see it in person, and it'll be time to play the game. And so I thought about something that maybe some of these coaches would say. You got it? And here it is now. Here's what the coach is going to say to some of these kids.
Practice.
Look, they're gonna throw on a little Gene Hackman.
But I'm just saying something different. That you remember that scene from Hoosiers where he says, you know, hey, you're in a different environment, but everything's still the same. The measurements are still the same. Just go out and play ball. And that's what's going to happen for some of these teams coming from South Georgia, different parts of the state, who've only seen Mercedes-Benz Stadium on TV. You think about that. And they just watched this game yesterday. They just watched this incredible game that was played there last night. And next week is going to be their turn. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Next week is going to be their turn on that field. They're going to dress in that locker room and walk out, and they're going to look up and see your screens going around in circles. You know, but the coach has got to keep it the same.
But it ain't going to work.
But you have to, in some way, keep it the same.
You can try. But I'm taking my stance from Kirby, who, when he says he still walks into Mercedes-Benz, he gets the goosebumps and gets the chills. And that initial a wash of fandom and just the energy you feel in the building takes him a minute to come down. This is Kirby Smart saying this. So
right.
Young kids, I can imagine when they go in there and look around, eyes are, you know, looking. They stay at 10 o'clock to 2. You know, they're up there. They're supposed to be at, you know, 9 and 3, but nope, they are up. And I can't be mad at them. because I'd be the same way. You're right. It is a coach's job to keep them focused and grounded and all that stuff that you said. But like,
would you want to be the first game of the day?
Me?
Absolutely. If you're over there. You know, although that's not the time of day you normally play a game.
No, but again, if you're going to deal with things that are abnormal in the first place, which is being in this environment and all of that, I kind of like to get things – if the team feels like they're ready. Now, if there's injuries –
the biscuits and gravy game is the – you know, you, would you want to be the biscuits and gravy game now
be our game.
With the state championship?
Yeah. But I – what – okay, I get your point. Yeah, when you say it like that, I'm just saying the early game for me would be one I would want, but if it's the championship game, nah.
It's a championship game. You want to be the last one.
Yeah, absolutely.
You always got a chance of going late. When the other two games go long.
Well, listen, you have to weigh everything in and take. Can you keep your kids isolated and away from hearing or watching any of the other games or what happened that day?
Well, you
keep
could, but
some
you probably
kind of a routine?
You, usually they come in and watch just to watch the other game, so they're watching football. It's watching something they can, I guess, you know, get them acclimated.
Does every coach do
way?
The same thing that plays those late games in your experiences when they, for Corky Kell? Do they come in there and sit and maybe visit with some family before the game, or are there coaches who like?
Well,
they're going to get there.
But they're going to get there early to make sure they get through traffic or whatever. They're in Atlanta. It's like,
that's
hey,
what I'm saying.
So they're going to be there.
They're going to hang out in the Kanye room.
No, they wherever the Kanye room is. But I mean, they'll go and they'll watch the first half of the game before them, and then at halftime of that game, they got to go get dressed. They got to go get dressed up.
Well, there's more than one game. I'm just saying, how many games?
I mean, you will arrive there when the game prior to yours starts.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a logistical thing that they have to do too. You got to bring your buses in, unload
them.
That's the thing. So you don't come there like at 10 o'clock in the morning if you're not going to play till 7 o'clock that evening.
Exactly. So the routine that they normally have is obviously going to be altered. So the coaches, one of the other coaches' jobs is to get some sort of system in place. I would imagine at some point during the season you play. At different times, you have things that upend your regular schedule, and this is another one of those things.
Well, this season it was the hurricane, but I mean, most folks play at 7:30 on Friday night, but there's some play Thursday, some play on Saturday, especially if your first round of playoff game because of the lack of the number of officials. But here you are; it's the biggest game of the season. It's what you aim for. You've been out there sweating with gnats flying around in August, and here you are to get into this building. And that's the whole thing. But, you know, drop the tape, pull it out, field is still the same width, same length.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. We have got D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us next from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I wonder if he's been through one of those little tunnels down there and enjoyed himself. How many times D. Led's been up there to Minnesota? He was
up there for
the kick. When
was
they
he
made
there
it to,
for the kick?
He might have been there for the kick. Anyway, we got to go.
I was there for the kick.
Well, that's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, December the 8th. When you hear that music, Sam, it means only one thing. Come on, I'm teeing it up for you. I'm teeing them up for you, man. This is batting practice pitching right down the middle. Come on, this is for you. That's what I do.
It means it's time for us to talk Falcons football with D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC. And I don't think he's got his gold boots up there in Minnesota with him, so we're not going to do that this morning. D. Led, good morning to you.
Good morning, D. Led. And
hey, good morning, Sam and Greg. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. The question was asked as we ended our last segment, whether or not, because Sam was up there, were you there when the Falcons won up in Minnesota to make it to the Super Bowl back in the day?
No, I was actually in Denver for the AFC Championship game.
Okay.
And that was before Denver came down.
Earlier for the 49ers game, playoff game, but they switched me to the AFC that weekend.
Wow.
Okay.
He was up there. So how are things there now? Is it much colder there than it's been here?
It's in the 40s, which is a heat wave for them.
Really?
So they said it was pretty cold last week, but it was, you know, the folks were out and about like it was springtime for them yesterday.
Wow. Nice up there.
It is.
In the summer, you got that going on. All right, so listen, you headed into this game. I know that everybody's going to be focusing on Kirk Cousins going back to Minnesota, but I want to go back to what we take from the game against the Chargers last week. and your thoughts on that team and as they come into this week.
Well, you know, they played that game a little bit differently than they, you know, have been playing this year. They ran a lot of clock, won the time of possession, played good defense, stopped the run, got after the passer, and, you know, wasn't wide open on offense, but still Kirk threw four interceptions, threw that game away. So, you know, you want to keep all that other stuff and cut out the turnovers and, you know, try to make a playoff push here down the stretch.
Man, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with D'Orlando Ledbetter from AJC. He is there in Minneapolis with the Falcons football team. And, you know, you do want to see some things because we were encouraged by what we saw from the defense last week, D-Led. But this offense has to make those capitalize on those opportunities that the defense has given them.
Yeah, no doubt. They in the three-game losing streak, they're 2-8 in the red zone. That's, you know, 25%. You want to be at least, you know, 70, somewhere over 60. So, you know, they're getting down there and bogging down. And then that's complicated by the fact that Kuz not automatic right now. So, you know, that's, you know, throwing the whole winning formula for them off. They're not having, they're not good enough to just go out and put up 40 on people. And so, you know, it's going to be a close game. You can't, you know, waste any scoring opportunities.
And listen, D-Led, I'm not mad if they decide to take the ball out of Kirk's hands and just make this a Bijan Robinson game. You got a fast track up there inside. And listen, given what happened last week, because of that, I would like to see a really pronounced running game during this one.
Well, you did it last week, and they went the tip-off was went to Algier early in the first drive. Today, that's probably part of the plan. I can say you're probably going to see some Bijan screens and all that stuff because, you know, the Vikings like the blitz so much. So you're going to try to bust him out the back door on some of those blitzes, too. So might not be a traditional running play, but extended handoff on the screen might also help you bust some big plays up here against the Vikings.
D-Led, what about tight end play? I mean, that can also help as well. It seemed like at time Cousins got locked in on one person who's trying to force the ball to Drake London almost every time. You got some other folks out there. When this offense is at its best, you know, he's distributing the ball to five, six, seven different people during the course of a game.
Yeah, no doubt, Sam. And that let me run the red zone numbers last week. And, you know, when they're in the red zone, Drake's got 19 of the, 19 of the passes. Kyle Pitts has only caught one of seven, so he needs to be a factor. And, you know, Charlie Warner's more, you know, a blocker, but, you know, could be a surprise target down there. Mooney and Ray and Bijan are the other guys that he goes to. They don't have his, you know, but it's clear that he likes Drake London in the red zone. So if I know that, guess who else knows that? Brian Flores. So so they got to do something a little different down there.
You know, I'm curious about, and I don't think I've asked you, Sam, who's the odd man out when it comes to Minnesota at the QB position? You got Sam Darnold playing in a way that nobody expected this year. They just got Daniel Jones off the scrap heap from the Giants, and yet they got the number one draft pick who's rehabbing, J.J. McCarthy, coming back in. Who's going to be put into it, in your mind, D-Led, some kind of trade package?
Yeah, Darnold's going to, I think, be a free agent, so he's making him some money. And they bought them some time to develop J.J. McCarthy if they want to keep him. I don't know if he's going to get starter money off of this year or if he's going to elect to stay with Kevin O'Connell. But, you know, knowing that J.J. McCarthy's the future. So, and Daniel Jones, they just got to try to put him back together. From the damage that was done to him in New York, or he did to himself in New York. So if I'm the Vikings, you're at a position of strength at the key position in the game. You try to figure out how to keep Darnold, and that way you don't have to run J.J. McCarthy out there before he's ready.
Absolutely, folks. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline. Always great to catch up with this man when you can spend some time with us. D. Orlando Ledbetter. And he is social. You can always find him at D. Orlando AJC at D. Orlando AJC. You can also find him in Canton, Ohio at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They got a little something up there with him.
Yeah, they do.
Last week, we got these sacks. We've been waiting all season for him, D. Led. And we got five of them last Sunday. Where these been? But I'm glad they showed up. And can we bring that back today?
Yeah, they said they've been working on it in practice, and it's finally starting to move into the games. Coach Raheem said the main guys were the outside guys, Lorenzo Cardo and Arno Ebiketie. They really brought it to life, and that allowed the guys to get inside and get free. Grady, Contavious, and Daniel Yamada got free, too, for some sacks. But Ebiketie was the two sack. He had two sacks and two quarterback hits. So folks have been waiting for him to come out of his bag and get there, and he started to do it last week. A couple of them were covered sacks, so that certainly helped. And, they want to continue that for sure.
Absolutely. What about the injured list? Anybody making their way back? Because that's the other thing on the defensive side. We have some linebackers that have been banged up. We got some people in the secondary. Anybody you think is going to be able to put the go this week that maybe wasn't able to play last week?
Yeah, Mike Hughes should be back, and that would be huge for the secondary. He had missed the last two games with a neck injury, and Clark Phillips was there starting, and I asked AJ about getting them back. He said, hey, strength in numbers, so they're happy to get Mike back. And Troy Anderson, is that left knee, is he's back, but he only played about 15 snaps last week, so Nate Landman's still your guy there at linebacker, but Mike Hughes is a big one. Rukaruru didn't make it all the way back. He had his window activated, so he's still on his 21 days to return from IR with that high ankle sprain. The big one is Mike Hughes for him. Got to watch the wide receiver position because Darnell Mooney was limited on Friday, didn't practice on Wednesday with Achilles, and they brought up Chris Blair from the practice squad, former All-Corn State star of the exhibition season. So he's going to be available to help out at the wide receiver position, and Pacey Washington is out. He turned up yesterday with a concussion, and so he will not be available to the team today.
I thought Greg had something. We're going to talk with
again. I thought you could see that.
Okay, no, I thought you said you had something up for him.
No.
Obviously, I got something else for this man today. Thoughts about this Minnesota team? You talk about Flores and the things he's going to do defensively, facing this Falcons team. Who are some folks you watching for that they, if they have big games, would really be bad news for our team today?
Yeah, one of them is our local kid, Jonathan Grenard, who played at Hiram out in Paulding County. He leads the team with 10 sacks. And Van Grinko is the other one. He's up there. And Jonathan Bullard, who played one season with the Falcons, you know, that front is pretty stout. So, if they can get to the quarterback, that's going to be a problem for the Falcons. And what he does is he puts everybody up on the line like he's going to do a zero blitz thing. And, they scramble back into a quarters or they come. So and he comes a lot. So that's the book on Curtis. Hey, you got to blitz him to smithereens. And so after, the four interception performance, they're definitely going to do that. And I understand Kurt was having problems with that in practice last year up here. And so they've gotten even better with it now. So that's a really key for us to watch early is what Flores tries to do. Does he come after him early? Does he come after him on third down? Or just come after him all day long? So it's going to be pretty interesting to watch how the Vikings try to go at the Falcons today.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons and Minnesota, once again, if you can't get in front of a TV, pre-kick at 11. I call them pre-game, I pre-kick, and kick at 1 o'clock. Listen, the news came down this week that Randy Moss was stepping away for some health reasons. We didn't find out exactly what the issue is, but this is a guy that you covered during his career, his Hall of Fame career, and I just wondered if you had any thoughts on Randy.
Yeah, I did, because I was one of my breakthroughs was his rookie year. I was covering the Packers and, you know, saw him just light them up on Monday night. You know, that was the first of several, his rookie year. And Tyrone Williams, good guy who went to Nebraska. His wife went to FAMU. They were good friends of ours. And I just remember how gracious Tyrone was talking about him after the game, after getting torched in front of millions, and how the old school guys were, you know, stand-up guys like that. But Randy was a little bit different. Also, he came to the Flowery Branch with the Patriots and was, you know, when they practiced against the Falcons, one of those joint practices and so forth. But, you know, by that time, he didn't really like the media too much. But I was like, hey, man, you want to give the ATL some love? He's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, okay. Let him go about his way. But, yeah, you know, he had turned into one of the good commentators, you know, had his own little interesting personality. It came through on TV. So you always, you know, hope the guys can take care of their health issues and hopefully, you know, the NFL and the Players Association can help him get whatever medical attention that he needs.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. D-Led, we appreciate you getting up this morning, spending some time with us. I don't know if you're going to go out for a brisk walk this morning while you wait for game time
it's
to
nice
come.
Day.
Yeah,
well, nice day. Nice day. Nice 43-day right. Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's balmy up there, yeah, it is. Right out loud. but we appreciate you as always, man. And
I'm going to hit the fitness room here.
There you go.
There we go. And we're going to see what bow tie you got on later on today.
All right, no doubt. We'll get that together here in a little bit.
There you go, D. Orlando Ledbetter. All right, travel safely, D. Orlando Ledbetter. Joining Sam and Greg here. Coming up, going to let you know where you can grab some holiday money. I think if we say it like that, they'll pay attention. That is up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 8th day of December. Thanks for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. I got a conversation this past week about when we will be back on Saturdays, so that's not that far down the road.
No.
So want to thank everybody for that. All right, I'm going to get into – I got a couple things here I want to get. I got to jam them all in here. Had Noel play this coming back because today is Rick Baker's birthday. Okay. Now, most of you don't know who Rick Baker is, but when he came to or comes to makeup artist, he's up there on the Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
And he did Thriller.
Ah, and, he did a lot of work there.
Yeah, well, the reason Michael Jackson called him for Thriller is because he did one of Michael Jackson's favorite movies as a kid, and that was American Werewolf in American Werewolf in London.
In London, right.
So he did the makeup for David Naughton in that movie. This dude also did, Bela Lugosi. They made a movie, I think Johnny Depp was the star of this, an old movie about Ed Wood, who was just a really terrible director.
I remember
back
that.
In the day.
Yeah.
And the real Bela Lugosi, who was Dracula, was still alive.
Okay.
And they had him made up in this, and Rick Baker did that. The gorilla in King Kong. He did the Sasquatch in Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, my goodness.
Men in Black. All three Men in Blacks. Planet of the Apes. How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey.
Mm.
He did that makeup.
Okay.
So this dude's been around a minute. And so it was been his birthday today, along with a few others. George Rogers.
Okay. Okay.
Got his birthday in there.
The Pride of Duluth.
I figured you had something to say about that. And as we got through talking about the Falcons up in Minnesota, I'm reaching here, but I'm doing this off the top of my head. I think today is the birthday of the Falcons quarterback of that team. Is that a Jeff George-led team?
Which one?
The one in Minnesota. The Falcons when he went up to Minnesota.
No.
Is it Chris
Chandler.
Okay, Chris Chandler. I always get them too confused their window. But anyway, today has been Jeff George's birthday. So there you go. And if you're just tuning in, we started the show. Sam and I have a story of the week. And one of the things that I had heard this past week, Noel had heard it, Sam didn't. And we talked about the fact that, you know, those of you listening to the show have probably seen all three. If you got kids, you've definitely seen all three. But you've seen maybe at least one of the Shrek movies. And it came out this week, or at least I heard an interview with Mike Myers talking about the, it wasn't Disney. It was, might have been Disney. Whoever the company was finally fessed up that he wasn't the original choice for Shrek. And that was Mike Myers. He was not it, and he wanted to know, is it true that Chris Farley was? And they confirmed it. Chris Farley was supposed to be Shrek. He had recorded a number of scenes, and then the unfortunate happened.
Yeah.
So it became Mike Myers, and he did this whole deep dive on how he was going to originally do it with a Canadian accent, which is where he's from. Mm-hmm. And then, he wasn't feeling it. He had to walk away for a bit and came back, and that's when he incorporated from his mother's side of the family her British accent. And he made it Scottish. But that's what's coming. These backstories are always great when you finally hear them. People tell these stories. I just look forward to those. So we were talking about that earlier in the show. I got a couple more things here, but I want to let you know about the job opportunities because I posted them there, and I called it holiday money earlier. And it really is. And apologies, too, because once you get to the page, it's going to say December 2nd. But when you go through Get Cast with Greg on X, or you go to the website, 929thegame.com/castingcall, you'll see where it says December 9th, for the week of December 9th. But the page actually says the week of December 2nd when you get there. Cab Casting, haven't had them on in a while, Sam. They're right off the top. They're doing season 5 of Queens, All the Queen's Men. Okay. Haven't seen any of those episodes. But in its fifth season, they got a pretty good audience.
Doing something.
And it's Tyler Perry.
Okay.
They have a scene where they are looking for ladies who do not mind going and sitting and getting paid at a male review.
Oh, really?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay.
They got no. I was gonna hand up.
buddy.
There is a scene where there is at a male strip club and they need ladies to be patrons. So okay. You're gonna see that's the first one there. Destination Casting. I got a ton of needs. Everything from a priest to a female lawyer. I don't know how. I've never had this before asked, but they should have just said big drinkers, but they literally put alcoholics.
Wow.
So if you're acting drunk, you're acting drunk. That means you're an alcoholic, right?
But there are some actors who are great at it.
Yes, they are.
Dudley Moore was outstanding.
He was beautiful. Yeah. Dean Martin was good, too.
Yeah, everybody.
So got alcoholics. Are you ready for it? Reporters. They are looking for men and women to be a part of an upscale club and restaurant scene.
Okay.
But here is one I don't think I've ever asked for before. Uh-oh. Along with the other one. Nuns. Made that face,
there's
right?
There's some in here. There's some in town.
I'm saying I asked for priests earlier. Right. There's also a need for nuns. So you'll see all of these on the casting call. Go to, like I said, get cast with
Greg. Would they have to come and wait all day for their part?
Say that again.
If they're an extra, would they have to come and wait all day, the nuns?
These aren't real nuns. These are people who are going to be acting, portraying nuns.
Okay.
Now, if some real nuns want to be a part of it, which they're welcome, that's even better. But, yeah, they got to wait like everybody else. They got to sit and wait. That's one of the things about being an extra.
No, if you get nuns, you're going to make nuns wait like that.
Well, what else are they going to do? They're going to bust in on fight scene?
If they're real nuns.
There's another scene being filmed. You can't make them come in there.
Okay.
Anyway, you'll see this list up on Get Cast with Greg, and you'll also see it on 929thegame.com/castingcall.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what happened to me this week?
Uh-oh.
I
was out in your parts this week.
You did. And while you were in my neighborhood over there at McEachern, I was on set for His and Hers.
Okay.
Over on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I have a kind of a basic role there. I'm playing a reporter again. I'm not going to tell you the scene. It was a nice day. We were at a place off of Gresham Road.
Okay.
Of I-20. Mm-hmm. A little bar out there.
What's the name of it?
Well, I don't know because they covered the sign up with the sign that's going to be in the scene of this TV show. They do that all the time. Like Cheers had another name for that bar.
Yeah.
But they put the Cheers sign up.
There's a spot right there that's pretty, pretty popular. So I didn't know if you.
Nah. It was a smaller sort of, I won't even say a sports bar, kind of a neighborhood joint.
Yeah.
Right?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, we were over there. And we were there for most of the day. And actually, I had a late call. But okay. I got to tell you what happened. One of the breaks, I went to, as people do, went to the bathroom, right?
Oh, hey.
And while I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, and while.
A guy, I hear a voice say, "Hey, where you been? Good to see you."
Oh no!
Now I'm not looking at this person because I'm doing what I'm doing, right? And he starts talking to me, which is always wonderful, too, when somebody just starts a conversation
You're in the latrine and somebody's going to strike up a conversation.
Where you been? Good to see you again. I went, okay, you too. But I didn't turn. I just said that. And I turned, and he gave me a look like he realized that I wasn't the person he thought he was talking to. But hang on, this gets better. Because he's seen me on set, right? And he goes, yeah, you're the... I thought you were so. Hey, Eric, man, good to see you. He starts calling me Eric. And when are you going to, you know, I was near the radio station a couple weeks ago. Are you starting to figure this out now?
Yeah, I'm
being confused in the latrine for our former producer, Eric Slaughter. Not only that, and I went, no, that's not me. This is, I'm Greg, but, you know. Did you get hired? And then we start talking. I just completely, while I'm in the bathroom, take this conversation left to try to like acknowledge, hey, you're with Hilton Casting, and you know we have you guys on the casting call. How's your day going? Now, he don't want to talk about that.
No.
He wants to talk about, you know, he just wanted to talk about being there. And then he started talking about the other extras. But it was a conversation that took place in the bathroom. When's the last time somebody cornered you in a bathroom? Because this is one of those things that happens to us, meaning broadcasters or people, you know, and I hate to say celebrities, but people who others see, whether it's on TV with you doing sports or, you know, me in the casting call. He just had this conversation with me. But for half of it, he thought I was Eric Slaughter, which I thought you would find enjoyable.
That's remarkable.
Because we all look alike, right?
All the
people who work up here, we all look alike. Now, I'm going to switch gears here, and I want to say something that should have been said right off the rip. And we got this news. This was AJC talked about it. There were stories that talked about it earlier this week. I didn't know her name, but there was a story out on Miss Helen Hardin. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Helen Hardin was?
We found out this week.
Yeah. If you don't know who Helen Hardin is, she is the matriarch, that's what I put it, a Bankhead Fish House.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were going into their 50th year, and I've been down to Bankhead Fish House. I can't tell you how many. I mean, there was just something about knowing I get that styrofoam thing that would never close, just overflowed with fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it would never make it home. You talk about people eating French fries from McDonald's like that. I would just, my fingers would be all greasy, and I just loved it. I couldn't go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't because I'd weigh 300 pounds. But the amount of food they gave you, just for me, it reminded me, it was the closest thing I hit to Chicago.
Okay.
Here. But anyway, she passed. Helen Hardin, a lot of people did some things at the Bankhead Seafood.
You know, thankfully they revived it, and we give the shout-out always to Killer Mike and T.I. for what they did to really the driving force behind reviving Bankhead Seafood, and for her being able to be there and witness it, you know, reopening and being reestablished.
Right. It closed in 2018.
Yeah.
And then they brought it back. So it's Bankhead Fish and Soul now, but yeah. I wanted to make sure that we said that, and I knew you'd have some kind of.
I haven't been out there yet.
But did you go to the other one?
I didn't make it to the other one.
Oh, man.
They make it to the other one. But I do intend to make it out to this one because they've added. Greg Street's been out there quite a bit.
I was out there quite a bit, too. I mean, $4.
I don't expect it to cost that anymore.
It was just piled up with fish.
Yeah.
Loved it. So anyway, wanted to take a second. And mention that. Also, I wanted to. Did you see the NIL 100? Not that the season's over with. Of the students who made money, you know, Shadir is probably number one. But I saw this past week. They had the NIL 100 out.
Okay, I saw some. I didn't see a whole list.
Yeah, it was. we don't have time to get into it now.
I saw the list of the highest paid female athlete, and that is Coco Gauff. I saw that list this week. That came out this week.
The other thing that stuck with me, did you hear this? Can you believe it? We were around when they were one of the big three, had one of the tallest buildings in America. And where is Chrysler now in December of 2024? They are existing on the back of one minivan. That's the only car they produce, Chrysler.
Okay.
Right now. I'm just saying, we remember Lee Iacocca and all them commercials and trying to save that
K cars and all that.
Oh, yeah. And one of the biggest buildings, the Chrysler building, one of the biggest buildings in America. They are down to one minivan right now. And how much longer will that brand be around? It's just something that stuck with me as we go into this show. And I have to talk about this weekend, too, as we get into this 8 o'clock hour, the greatest TV show right now. And Nick Saban, this dude ought to do like one of those things in Vegas, one of those residencies. He was great this past week. I want to talk about that, too, as we move into the 8 o'clock hour. We got a special guest coming up next, though, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We now know who will be coming to town next week for the Celebration Bowl. Usually we have a week in between, but nope, they're going to come right to town and play the game. And John Grant, the executive director of the Celebration Bowl, the Cricket Celebration Bowl, and the Band of the Year, will be joining us next. It's Sam and Greg with Noel, Other Side of the Glass, on this Sunday morning here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.